Ain't ready. I see you shining. You see me shining.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
I came up dirty. They didn't want me to shine. No part of sipping. They don't want me to shine.
This is the song The Boy Shining, music from a new play now on stage at Company One Theater in Boston. It tells a story that could be pulled right out of today's headlines about a multiracial rap group that's about to make it big when it lands its first performance on The Tonight Show. Then comes news of an unarmed black teenager shot dead by a white cop. And the reactions from the three members of the group, one black, one white, one multiracial, strain their friendships as they grapple with the questions of race, justice, and identity. The play is called Hype Man, a breakbeat play, and it's written by Idris Goodwin, who joins me in the studio right now. Idris, welcome. It's great to have you.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
Also with us is Sean LeCount. He's the artistic director and founding member of Company One Theater, which is dedicating its 19th season to the works and voices of living black male playwrights. Sean, great to have you. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
So, Idris, let me get you to set up the story a little more. So, after the shooting, two of the characters, I understand, Verb, who is black, and Pinnacle, who is white, have very different reactions about whether or not and how to acknowledge this shooting in their music, right?
Yeah, that's right. And so they're sort of at this, they've been friends their whole life and sort of fell into hip hop and fell in love with the music and started making independent music and sort of worked their way up the ranks together as friends. And now they're at a moment where things are changing for them. It's starting to become more of a business. And they now have this opportunity to go on The Tonight Show and do this song called The Boy Shining with the you know, this incredible production made by their brand new beat maker, who is this female character named Peep One. On the eve of this event, they get the news of this unarmed 17-year-old kid who gets shot by the police 18 times. Mm. And so Verb's immediate reaction is he immediately is like, you know, he himself is coming out of this transitional period of getting his life together, and he's reflecting. He's saying, I could have been this kid. This isn't right. I'm finally in a place where I feel like I want to do something. We have the Tonight Show Forum. The universe put this in our lives right now at this moment. We got to seize it. We got to say something. Mm. And Pinnacle is like, whoa, whoa, whoa. We just got here. Like, we've worked so hard to get here. Let's not even get into that. Let's just, you know, we're going to indirectly right. say something.
Let's establish ourselves as artists.
Yes.
Let's do this and let's not rock the boat too
exactly,
much.
Okay. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Right. And so from then on, the play, they begin to sort of wrestle as a trio around, well, what are your obligations and do you owe it? Do you owe it to the community to speak up? Because hip hop is a business and it is popular music, but it's also has community roots. It's still a grassroots, still has grassroots connections. And so it's really a play about those questions. Like, does hip hop still have that responsibility, or is it purely just, you know, pop and entertainment?
I'm also interested, and I should say it. I told you before we went on the air. I haven't seen this play yet. I'm very interested to
Sean
to
and I can do it for you right quick. Come on, let's go, Sean. 30-second version. Let's go.
No, but the question is one of sort of, you know, here's a black guy and a white guy. They're working together. They're co-artists, so they're close in all kinds of ways. But the fact that they have this fundamental difference in sort of how to react to this event, I mean, what does it say about questions of, compassion, of, you know, to what extent white folks can sort of get in the shoes of black folks or vice versa?
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, so there's a lot of levels to it, right? Because on one hand, you know, in this dynamic, you have Pinnacle, who's the, you know, the lead frontman rapper. And then you have Verb, who is the hype man, who is there to support and excite. And you know what I mean? And there's a tradition of that relationship. And so but what you have is you have someone who's the primary voice. And then you have someone who's the supportive voice. And in this situation, you have the supportive African-American voice saying, no, like, you're the guy in front and we gave you the power to have the mic and to do all this stuff.
Yeah.
Now this is what's required of you. And Pinnacle's like, no.
You know what I mean?
Not today.
This is my voice.
Yeah, exactly. Not today. And I think that's, you know, a microcosm of what's happening across the spectrum. And I think this is a very interesting intersectional moment where, you know, immigrant folks are asking, you know, citizens to advocate for them. Women are asking men to advocate for them. I mean, we're in this moment where groups on the so-called margins are asking, you know, for allyship in a very circuitous, interesting way that I've not seen before. And so that's kind of what the play is looking at. It's like, you know, how do we support one another? Mm. And when is it incumbent on us to support one another?
It sounds really fabulous. Sean LeCount, artistic director and founding member of Company One Theater. So the theater is dedicating this 19th season to the works and voices of living Black male playwrights. What did you like about including this play, Idris's play, in this body of work?
Yeah, so we have a relationship as a company with Idris from when we did his play, How He Got On, which was an early play in his breakbeat play cycle. I get that right? Breakbeat play cycle. And it was great. It was a very successful piece. Summer L. Williams directed it beautifully. And we fell in love with the work, but also with Idris's voice. I think that it's rare to find a playwright whose mission seems to align so well with ours. And we're certainly a mission-focused organization. See ourselves at the intersection of social justice and art.
Well, I want to play a little more music from this play. So this is Justice for Gerard, which is, and Idris, correct me if I'm not setting this up correctly. I understand it's the sort of the result of a collaboration between Verb, the Black guy, and Peep One, the biracial woman in the group, right?
Yeah, they did the, you know, Pinnacle has decided I'm not going to be part of any protest music. And so Verb and Peep One collaborate, but then they bring in this other rapper who earlier in the play we learned there's a story they tell about this rapper battling Pinnacle in the studio, you know, and then so there's a little bit of, you know, there's an extra sting to it because they got one of his enemies.
And so Justice for Gerard, and he's the 17-year-old who was shot dead. Okay, let's listen to a little bit of this.
Yeah. Look, 18 shots, 17, hit the same soul, but the cops gotta quit it, joy boy, same old rap for us colored folks, so we can't have peace, you can hold your truth, try and lock us up when it's time we get loose, always on trial like we're meant to lose, and the sun goes down but we never snooze, at all, the block is hot, legit, the stars, it's
time is like it, my response to the conqueror was he just likes it too, he's shaking and
I can't stop myself.
So tell me about the sort of role of hip-hop here. I mean, it's often been used as a form of resistance. Not always, but often, certainly in this play it is. So tell me how you were thinking about it.
Oh, man. I'm going to try to keep this semi-brief. So as Sean mentioned, this is the third play in a series of what I call breakbeat plays, which are plays that sort of explore the intersection of like hip-hop in terms of its creation, its history, its aesthetics, and its social contributions, and also like personal relationships, right? And so, but this is the first in the series that's set present day, and I would say it's the most overtly political. So, mm-hmm. If there was a rap group equivalent, you know, How We Got On was Kid and Play, the Realness was maybe the Fugees, and then this one is definitely Public Enemy. You know what I mean? And so it's really sort of got an edge to it in that way. But you know, hip hop's roots has interesting roots. It was always party music, but it was party music created to calm and soothe like tensions in the South Bronx. You know, it was very strategically used to get the gangs to stop fighting for a moment. You know what I mean? And to really just get people to celebrate their youth. But that connection to street organizations and to the real problems of the area that it came out of were always there. And so I think that's still happening today. It's still the one vehicle where, you know, marginalized people especially can really, like, affect culture. I mean, look at, you know, Kendrick Lamar's album Damn, you know, almost won Album of the Year. And really, according, you know, for most people, was the real Album of the Year. You know what I mean? And that is a very, very, you know, overtly political record, as was his last one. And so, you know, we see Beyonce at the Super Bowl and, like, you know, wearing, like, Black Panther garb, like, you know, all these things are little nods and tips of the hat to, you know, hip hop, but even more so, you know, hip hop's connection to the Black experience, the Black narrative in America that goes all the way back to slavery to now.
And what about the sort of question of the role of white artists who participate in hip hop and hip hop culture? I mean, this obviously comes into the play as well.
Well, one of the great things about working with Company One is Company One is got a wonderful team, from scenic to directing, production, acting, everything. But also we have a wonderful dramaturg named Jesse Baxter, who worked on the show. And if you come to the show, there's all this wonderful information in the program that traces the history, the timeline of white involvement in black music, but particularly in hip hop. And so what we see, I mean, going back to jazz, blues, all of it, there's always been white folks in the mix, you know, as artists, as executives, as producers, and there's plenty of great case studies of that allyship working out in really positive ways. But there's certainly plenty of examples of the public and the machine exalting certain artists purely because they know they're going to be palatable to a largely white audience. You know, Elvis Presley, Pat Boone used to sing like black records that like the radio couldn't play, you know what I mean? Because they were R&B records, which was code for black music, you know? And so they got like white people to just sing those records, you know, with usually a lot less soul, no shots, but you know, check the tape. So it's no different, and it's no different with hip hop either. And so artists like, you know, Eminem and Macklemore and G-Eazy and all this, I mean, you know, they're certified to some degree. I mean, you know, they have black fans, you know, certain, they've paid their dues, they've come up in those circles. But the issue is when they get sort of exalted over some of the other folks who are of equal or higher ability.
Well, Idris Goodwin, he wrote Hype Man, a breakbeat play, and Sean LeCount, the director of Hype Man, a breakbeat play. It's showing at the Company One Theater through February 24th. You can find a whole lot more information at our website, radioboston.org. Thank you both for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
It's great. Look forward to seeing it. That's it for today. Have a great weekend. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.